Well, last week we looked at some practical instruction to men in Proverbs, and particularly focused on our homes and families. We saw that, you know, really, as we've studied Proverbs, the whole book is about being a godly man. It's a father passing on that instruction to sons, and so it's a manual for what it means to be a man in a lot of ways. And so there's a lot that we've talked about that relates to being a godly husband and father already, but we looked at some things that are just a little more specific as it relates to the home. And this week we're going to spend most of our time just kind of on some practical application of a couple of the points that we talked about last week. We saw last week four characteristics of a wise guy in the home. We saw first that a wise man is actively engaged in the home. We saw Proverbs 27:8, like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his home, that we're to be engaged there, that our focus is there and our attention is there when we are there. Anybody got an example of a way that you were more actively engaged in your home this week, those of you that were here last week? A way that you tried to apply that? I'm sorry to hear that, Kirk. Anybody else got a way you were actively engaged in your family? That's good. That's good. We're glad. That'll fall under the selflessly loving category, too, and a few others. Yeah, we'll stop on that. We won't go to some of the other areas that we... Other ways? Actively engaged this week? So we're going to talk practical application this week. Good. Yeah, dealing with some spiritual issues. Kids, addressing those things, being aware of those things. We saw also then, secondly, that a wise man is selflessly loving in the home. Proverbs 11:17 says, the merciful or faithful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. And how we're to be gracious and gentle and loving and giving of ourselves for our family. And then we saw, thirdly, a wise man is exclusively satisfied in the home as it relates to purity and the physical relationship. And then fourthly, a wise man is intentionally leading in the home. And it's really those, the first one and the fourth one, that I kind of want us to spend some time thinking about practically tonight. I took a course, seminary course back in December on leadership and family ministry. And it was taught by a guy named Dr. Randy Stinson, who is involved as a dean at Southern Seminary. And he's also the leader of the ministry called the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And he's got about six kids. He's probably in his early 40s, and kids are teenage and under. And he talked a lot about what it means to lead in the home and what it means as a man to do that in fulfilling, I think, some of what the principles that we saw in Proverbs last week. So we're going to talk some about Proverbs, but I just want to also share some of what really impacted me from that class. And particularly, he talked about, as your handout says there, just nine areas in which we need to be initiators in the home as men. And I think these fit, as was studying last week and just thinking through our time together, I think these really fit as we are actively engaged and intentionally leading our home. I think these are just some things that we can focus on that really give us some direction of what does this practically look like? What do we need to be thinking about as we're trying to do this? A couple of you guys may have heard me share some of this in our discipleship group, but I think it's a great framework for thinking, and some of it we'll talk a little differently if you were there. The first area that I want to think about, we talked a little bit about last week, you guys, we're to be leading our homes intentionally, and part of that means we are to be setting the vision for our home. That's, you can write that in number one there if you want to. And we talked last week that doesn't mean, you know, what we think of in the corporate world as much. We saw last week in Proverbs 29:18 that where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And that's not so much where there's no purpose statement that you put on the wall that everybody knows this is what we're about, the people are unrestrained. It's more in Proverbs related to where there's no revelation of this is what God says we're to do, the people are unrestrained. So when we think about vision in our home, it's not just that, hey, we need a catchy phrase that we're going to live by. You know, Andersons are going to be happy and nice people, and we're just going to drive that home with our kids. And it's the idea that we are to be the ones who are saying, this is what God has revealed our home is to be like. And we're holding that out for our family as this is the goal of where we want to go and what we want to be. In a sense, thinking of our homes, our marriages, our kids, it's asking the question, what does the Scripture say this should look like? And we need to be the ones with that answer in our home. It's not to be our wives who are saying, man, this is really where I think we need to go on as it relates to biblical parenting. Or, man, this is really how our family should be ministering and serving. I mean, they can be a help and a resource and somebody who is helping flesh that out for us. But we're to be the initiators, the ones saying we need to know this and we need to be doing this and we need to be striving for this. And you guys, that's really related to right now. What does a biblical home look like right now? Well, for Jake and Jenna, they have no kids. That looks a little different than a biblical home looks for Nathan with six kids, however many kids he's got, a bunch of kids. And it looks a little different than for Gary, who has no kids in the home, but he's thinking through what does it mean to be not only a godly husband and wife, but a godly grandfather. So it's what does it look like today, but I think part of what that looks like is also then what does this look like down the road? Where are we going with this? What is this to look like in 10 years? When my 7-year-old is 17, what do I want that? What does the Bible say should be true of her then? And so I want you to think with me. We've studied a lot in Proverbs, and we can go outside of Proverbs as well. As you think about what the Scripture would say, what are the characteristics of a godly family that we should be saying, this is what we're striving for? What's a vision for a godly family generally first, just family? What are some things, either from Proverbs or elsewhere, that we could think of? Anything? Whatever. Yeah, whatever you think of. Either way, both of those would work. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We need to be loving God and loving people. Yeah, that's huge. Okay. Patience. Yeah. Yeah, we can generalize that under the loving people and the Christ-likeness aspect of how we do that. Other things? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's more than just about a family. It's a picture of the gospel, isn't it? Of Christ and the church and each of us filling our roles so that our family's great, but more than that, so that our kids, our world, sees the gospel on display in us and through our relationship. What else? Yeah, obedient children. Children that are well-instructed, well-disciplined, that we're passing along something to the next generation. There's an intentionality of we have been given kids by God for a reason, because he said this is how you're to fill the earth. This is how you impact that next generation. Because if you're like me, you don't think at that level often enough. We don't walk in our house and think about the gospel as it's pictured in our marriages often enough. We don't walk into our home and think about how those kids, if we have them, you know, they are the next generation that we are training and passing on the fundamentals of what we believe the Bible to say of who God is and his word. And if we're not faithful to do that, then they will be like the nation of Israel, another generation that comes up that doesn't know God, that doesn't follow him. Because that's That's the vision we need. Not a catchy statement, but a picture of this is what the Scriptures hold out there that our family is to be. And yes, our wives may know all that. Our wives may think about that often, but you and I need to be the initiators of that. We need to be the ones who are bringing our family back to those things, who are reminding our wife of those things, who are shaping our home to where that's the culture that we are in. Think then more specifically, what are some characteristics of a godly wife? They're studying that next door. As we're to lead our wives, what are some things that we want to help our wives, or should biblically want to help cultivate in our wives? Yeah, we want our wives to submit. No, that sounds bad. Delete that off the tape. No, we want our wives, but yeah, we do, don't we? And we want them to do that because we're putting them in a position where they can trust us and where they are receptive to our leadership as we're selfless in that. And we want to confront that sometimes when it's not present. But yeah, absolutely, helping them learn to submit. Other things? Yeah, girl. Absolutely. Yeah, we resolve conflicts in a way that are honoring to the Lord, differences, just different perspectives. Other things with your wife in particular? Okay. Yeah, to be a good mom, parenting. To be homeward focused, I think, is a biblical thing for wives, right? To be not necessarily spending all their time there, but focused there, that's their priority focus. We want to help cultivate those things. Again, if we don't think about that, are we going to help our wives get there? No. What about our kids? I want you to think about those of you with sons. What are some characteristics of a godly son or a godly man that we've seen particularly in Proverbs here, because there's so much that's been addressed to that? What are some things we want to be cultivating in our sons? Absolutely. Man, if they don't have that, the whole book of Proverbs is in one ear and out the other, right? I mean, if they're not willing to say, you have something that I don't, you know something that I don't, you are wise and I'm not, we can't really get beyond that. So it's a humility, a fear of the Lord, a respect of Him. What else? And things even specific to sons as opposed to daughters. Work ethic? Yeah. Hard working. Yep. Yeah, we want them to be men of their word. And obviously that's true of daughters too. Other qualities of sons? Okay, absolutely. Moral purity. What do sons need to be a godly husband someday? What qualities and characteristics? Yeah, need to be a leader. What's involved in that? Being a good leader. Being courageous. Being a servant. Yeah, think about those two things together. Being courageous enough to say, we're doing this, and if it blows up, it's my fault. I mean, I feel that like right now when we just closed on our house, and we hopefully have a house soon, but it's like, I'm the one who's deciding, I want my wife to pick a house, because then if it blows up, it's her fault, right? No, but it's me saying, I'm making this decision. There's choices. There's not a clear-cut winner all the time on those things, but I'm going to lead. I'm going to have the courage to do that. That goes against our flesh. But yeah, we want to train our sons to be courageous, to be leaders, to be servants, though, not dictators. What about daughters? What do we want to be true of our daughters? And again, some of you may not, I don't have sons, but I can still think about sons in case I ever